Okay.
Are you going someplace in particular where we should be, or are you going to Bible bounce?
We'll go. Okay. All right. So once again, Tom finished up the series, Foundation of the Faith, once delivered unto the saints, as penned by Jude. So in order for me to do a proper teaching today, conversation, as I told you earlier, we're going to do a quick recap of the last. It was a 12-part teaching done in 14 weeks, over a 14-week period, with some bumps in the road along the way, because David taught and I taught during that time. So as a recap, week one was the introduction of the series, teaching on how our Bible came about, how it was penned, how it was, who decided, who put it together, so on and so forth. Week number two was, why did Yeshua have to die on the cross? Week number three was, what is salvation and when do we receive it? Week number four is, what did Yeshua really teach? Week number five was out of the book of John, John 14:15. It's written right down here. If you love me, keep my commandments. Week number six, the teachings of Paul. I think the title of that teaching was, but the law was done away with. We had a long conversation. We probably had a two-hour conversation at the breakfast table with my mom today. It was the teachings of Paul, the twisting and misinterpretations of his writings. Week number seven, the lies inherited from our fathers. Week number eight and nine were the holy days, God's Moedim, his appointed times. Week number 10 was, what is food? Consequently, Bubba only serves maybe 10% food. Week number 11 was taught on tithes and offerings. And week number 12, 13, and 14 was that three-part teaching on the Sabbath, our set-apart mark. Tom told us week after week, each one of these topics was a six-hour teaching at minimum. So he did a quick overview with the intention of, and I strongly encourage you, because as I was preparing for this teaching, I went back to the Foundation series. They are crisp, they are clear, and when I say crisp and clear, not only did Tom orate them properly, but the I don't know if you heard any of the teachings on our website yet, but they are crystal clear as far as clarity goes. And my wife and I and my mom last night watched a documentary that really, really messed us up. I mean, we laid in bed last night with a conversation. I don't know. Finally, you fell asleep. But I was, and maybe we'll discuss it during Oneg. But I had to go back to the scriptures just when you were teaching, David, because something came to me. And it's we use God's word as the test to see if something is real. And I'm going to read, and when I get to that part of my teaching, I will read out of this because it's spot on. And we haven't discussed this because it just came to me. Okay, so now that the series is finished, now what? What do we do? The series was for a refresher for some, for new people coming in to this walk. It was something that's brand spanking new. I don't think there was anybody that sat in any of these parts of this series that did not learn something. So now what do we do with this knowledge and with these instructions? Because a pilot could go through all the training that he wants to go through in a simulator until he steps in the cockpit and actually fly the airplane. He's not a pilot. Unless you're the guy that flew the 757 into the World Trade Center. If you are his, to do nothing is not an option. David, could you open us up in prayer, please?
Sure. Father Jehovah, we thank you for this Shabbat, and we thank you for every brother and sister that has gathered here today, and we thank you for the word that you have given Brother Rich, and we ask you now for your anointing on him. Direct and guide his teaching. Take him any direction that you want him to go. And give the people who are here, the ones who are listening, the food they need today, Lord. Thank you for this special day. We thank you for everything it represents, all the blessings that you have given us, the special life that you have blessed us with. And may we have ears to hear and a heart to obey what you tell us to do on this day. Thank you for your Son and his salvation. And in the name of Yeshua, your Son, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dave. Tom asked me over 6 weeks ago to do this teaching. He didn't know exactly when he was going to be out of town, but Tom said multiple times at the podium that he works for a living, and so his business it's an entitlement to travel. Sometimes it all depends on the way you look at it, but it requires some travel, so that's why they're out this week. So knowing that I had to do a teaching, I mean, the Spirit laid, and David, I know you talk about being led by the Spirit. I knew crystal clear in a nanosecond what I was supposed to teach on, and we weren't even finished with the series. However, I had to put, because I, knowing what I was going to teach on, I had to put myself under self-examination and with a microscope, because my best accountability partner is my bride. And she keeps me under the scope. Number two, these are disclaimers, because as I told David on Tuesday night, I got 10 minutes of disclaimers with this message. Number two is I had to doubly make sure that the log that was in my eye was removed. And that log is the size of a ponderosa pine. Ponderosa pines grow about 8 feet in circumference, and they grow 150 feet tall. So that's the size of the log in my eye. Number three is I had to ask the Father, forgive me of the way I deliver things. Because, Maureen, you just said a few minutes ago, I tell it like it is. Absolutely, I do. Because I only learned in my life by being hit upside the head with a 2x4. So unfortunately, that's my teaching style. Number four, and I want everybody to understand, because this is the most critical part of this disclaimer. Everybody knows what crosshairs look like in a scope. They look like this. Nobody was put in the crosshairs. However, each one of these subject matters that will go on his board, we have some attachment to them. Nobody was put in the crosshairs. And trust me, because you would see right through that. Number five. Without understanding the foundations, grabbing a hold of them. Remember, I didn't know your son was a professional football player. Oh, sorry, I let that cat out of the bag. But remember the analogy I gave about a receiver, a wide receiver catching the ball, bring it in. We got to bring these foundations close to our heart. They got to be written on the back of our hands. I say that to say this. I have a strong look behind the curtain of upcoming teachings because I'm looking at them. Without grasping these foundations that Tom spoke about, that are spoken about in Hebrews, which we will go to, it's going to be impossible to latch on to the teachings on the healings. I say that not as an expert, but what God has told me. Oh, but the Spirit has told me. Okay, so we got all the disclaimers out of the way in less than 10 minutes. Thank you very much. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 13:5. And I'm first going to read it in the King James Version, and then I'm going to go to the International Standard Version. Because I think in a little bit clearer English, it really brings it home. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves that how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? In the International Version, it reads, keep examining yourself to see whether you are continuing the faith. Test yourselves. You know, don't you, that Jesus the Messiah lives in you? Could it be that you are failing the test? Today's teaching is entitled, Examine Yourself, to see whether you're in or out. Let's go on to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting with verse 18. But someone may say, you have faith and I have actions. Show me your faith without any actions and I will show you my faith by my actions. You believe that there is one God? That's fine. Even the demons believe that and they tremble with fear. Do you want proof? You foolish person, that faith without actions is worthless. Our ancestor Abraham was justified by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar, wasn't he? You see that his faith worked together with what he did, and by his actions, his faith was made complete. And so the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so he was called God's friend. You observe that a person is justified through his actions and not through faith alone. Likewise, Rahab the prostitute was justified through her actions when she welcomed the messengers and sent them away on a different road, wasn't she? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without actions is also dead. I think this is where the pretenders get separated from the real deal. I got another disclaimer coming up. There's two ways I could deliver this. What you see here, or I can make nice, nice. This is where the conversation. You want the real deal?
Yes.
Okay.
We don't need it prettied up. We just need it.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're used to prettied up. We don't like that anymore. That's why we're here.
Let's take a look at the foundations and how you put it in today's living. May 21st, 2016. Okay? All of us, I think we could safely say that everybody in the room possesses three assets. For those that you don't know, that's a clock, that's time. Janice should know what this is.
Art school.
This is B. If you don't know who B is, you're going to find out. This is talents. Now, I draw a bus because I'm figuring when I'm doing this teaching, how do I draw talents? I couldn't figure out how to draw talents until I met with Ted on Thursday. And this is?
Treasure.
Treasure. Okay, can we all agree that all of us possess time in some shape or form, talents, and treasures? Okay. Anybody think that? I don't think so. Okay. We're going to take a closer look at each one of these. And how do we put them into action? Remember, we'll go back to James, what James has said. Faith, I could tell my wife all day and all night that I love her. If I don't show her by my actions, what good are my words? If I don't bring her a flower, do I love her? Well, let me. I'm not even going to go down that road. Okay. Let's talk about time first. Let's look at time in a very, very careful way. Everybody has 24 hours? Is there anybody in this room that doesn't have 24 hours on the clock? I know that moms feel that they got like 5 hours. Okay. So I understand that because although I wasn't a mom, I was a dad, and chasing kids around all day, it takes a lot of time. So for this exercise, and I'm going to go through an exercise, we all have 24 hours in a day. So for this exercise, I'm going to use 8 hours for work, 8 hours for sleeping, and 2 hours for commuting back and forth. All right. Are we using our time properly? And there's, follow me on this, stay with me, because there is a method to my madness. Thanks, David. All right. So let me get rid of this stupid clock. Let's look at our 8-hour workday. And I'm gonna go back to my notes because I'm still so messed up from last night's documentary that... And I shouldn't be because I got the answer sitting there.
What documentary?
Do we dare say?
It's called The Finger of God.
Anybody see it? We go into work, and when we go into work, do we bring light with us, or do we shut the lights off when we walk in the office? Because we're representing the King of Kings. And this is one of the things that I had to take a ponderosa pine out of my eye with. We're princes and princes. But sometimes we act and talk and speak like we belong in the butler's pantry, not at the banquet table. And trust me, I did a lot of examining, writing this out. We are what we think. You're going to be learning that in the near future. I had a bunch of people working for me years ago, and there was a requirement of them, because when they had my uniform on, and I had custom-made uniforms for my managers, and they were out in the public, with that shirt on, they represented me. And trust me, everybody in Miami, when you have restaurants all over Miami, everybody in Miami knows you. And it would get back to me. They were a representative of my organization, just like we are representatives of the kingdom. So when you walk into your place of employment, are you representing the king, or are you representing the world? Because I know when I went under conviction with this, and that story's coming up, I share everything with my wife. And, you know, you want to talk about iron sharpening iron. My wife knows how to sharpen me. Do your coworkers know who you are? Or are you an undercover agent? What do I mean by an undercover agent? Well, maybe your talk is not what it's supposed to be. Or your actions are not what they're supposed to be. Three weeks ago, I'm getting out of my car. I think I'm going into the post office. The post office is probably my least nice place to go to. For a lot of reasons. One of my restaurants was by the General Mail facility in Miami. There was 3,000 postal agents that would come into my restaurant. And if you've ever been in a post office, you better pack a lunch because that's how long it takes to get waited on. And they would complain about my speed of service being under 2 minutes when they would walk in the door. So, come on, give me a break. So I have no fondness for a postal worker. But I'm getting out of my car. And I'm already gunning because I know what I'm going to be faced with. And the Spirit told me, change your delivery. Because I'm already gunning. My daughter Kara is going to be here tomorrow. I'm shopping for a book bag for her, probably her senior year of high school. And it's impossible to shop with my daughter. I'd shop 6 hours with her for a pair of jeans. We never walked out with a pair of jeans. I told her I will never go shopping with her again until I went shopping for a book bag because I knew exactly what book bag she wanted. Go to the sporting goods store, get the book bag, and I can't sell you one off the rack. Really? It's right there. By the time I'm leaving that store, I had the book bag and the woman was crying. So that's my delivery. Yeah. So we need to watch what we say. We need to watch how we conduct ourselves, even in a retail center, because we represent the King of Kings. It's part of the foundations. You in, you're out. I thought I was walking in the world and the kingdom at the same time. Yeah. Time's off the clock here. Time's up. Okay, time. What do we do with our commute time? I used to commute an hour and a half a day, one way, an hour and a half the other way. We've got a couple options. What's filling you when you're in commute? Janice, I know that you drive an hour to come in. Most of us listen on the radio, listen to the radio. It's a form of entertainment. What's on your radio station? Is it filling your mind while you're en route to your job or to whatever your destination is? Is it uplifting, encouraging? Is it edifying? Does it please the Father? Who doesn't have a cell phone in here? I think Charlie has a cell phone. Here's where we're going to get cut to the quick. When was the last time you picked up your cell phone en route to anywhere and call one of your sisters and brothers in this assembly just to encourage them? When was the last time you received a telephone call? Hey, I was just thinking about you. Again, with the drive time, because it's critical time. And we're going to be talking about that. Drive time could be prayer time. God speaks to us in different ways. But I remember I was telling Christiana last week, I think, I was going down 575, and because we're dealing with an issue. And for the lack of a better word, the issue is, throw me a bone? Now what? And as we were talking last night, we're close. We're about ready to bust through the door. We're so close. And then it's like a bungee cord. We get rappelled back 2 miles. But I'm going down 575. And I'm one of the few times where I know my wife prays out loud all the time. I'm actually having a conversation with the Father. Father, I see that light, that very, very small light at the end of the tunnel, and I know that we're on the track, but that light is so faint and distant. close. Okay, let's do a quick analysis. We got 8 hours of sleeping, 8 hours of work, 2 hours commute time. That leaves us with 6 hours, okay? How are we going to deal with these 6 hours? Because you could consider these 6 hours yours. If you're working for Pharaoh, those 8 hours are Pharaoh's. You're sleeping, you should have 8 hours of sleep. If you're not sleeping 8 hours, well, maybe it has something to do with the 8 hours that you're at work or the other 8 hours. I mean, I don't know. I'm learning a lot of things about not sleeping for 8 hours. So we're gonna deal with the 6 hours that we have that we could call ours. David, you had a teaching several weeks ago on sharing a meal and the importance of sharing a meal. And I'm really going to hone in on this. Outside your home, can we not all agree that the world has just gone absolutely off its axis? Yeah. I mean, look what it is just mind-boggling. I told you folks last week, I'm a one-man wrecking crew for Brian Cornell, Chief Executive Officer for Target. I know you're not supposed to cheer for your enemy's demise, but man, every time that stock is ticking down, I am dancing. As of Thursday, it was at $67 a share from $84 a share when it first started. I won't say yes because I've read where you should not. Okay. But once you're inside your house, that door is closed. That becomes your sanctuary. That world out there should not come inside your home because that's where you need to regenerate. That's where you need to recharge. That's where you need to connect with your wife, with your spouse, with your husband, with your kids. But we're going to talk about the dinner meal for just a second because it should be an event. If your dinner time is not an event, make an event. Tom spoke about how to bring in the Sabbath. And we have I don't want to call it a routine. It's not a routine. Nothing that we do about the Sabbath is a routine. It may repeat itself, but we don't look at it as a mundane routine. From the song that hits, sundown last night was at 8:37. Our song came on. Our next song came on. And as I was telling April, if you haven't seen the Israeli praise, is it a praise band, sweetheart? You need to plug into that because the house rocks when that comes on. Anyways, our dinner is an event. It could be just my wife and I. It could be my wife, my mom, and I. It could be my wife, myself, and our kids. It could be people that we have in on Shabbat. It's an event. My wife and I, we make an event. Sometimes it lasts an hour. Last night's dinner lasts a few hours. And it's where the day's events, the week's events, catch-up time is done. And I don't implore you, but I behoove you to rethink Friday night's dinner, Shabbat dinner, and get plugged into it because it's life. Breathe into yourself. I mean, it's great. All right, so forget about a Sabbath meal. Let's talk about a regular Tuesday night dinner. And even that should be a mini event. But let's talk about the 3 and 4 hours that you have. What are you doing with those 3 and 4 hours? And this is where I don't want you to think I'm stepping on toes, but there is a method to the madness that I'm going to teach. It's not madness. It's truth. These 3 or 4 hours are critical. And one of the things that we're learning is the renewing of the mind. David, again, I turn to you and I say, you had a teaching couple months ago about the renewing of the mind. I grew up in a town in Ohio called Willowick. It's a little dot outside of Cleveland, Ohio. I knew one thing. I wanted to get south because I hated the wet, cold snow. I went to Florida, and all of a sudden, wow. And I went to South Florida. There's a lot of wealth here, and I want to share in that. So I went to the bookstore and picked up a book called, oh my gosh, it slipped my mind, Think and Grow Rich. It's either by Dale Carnegie or Napoleon Hill. I can't remember who it is, but it was my Bible. It renewed my mind on what to think, how to think, not as a 20-year-old kid that was making $12,000, $13,000 a year at that time, but I wanted to be the guy that floated that $50 million boat. So I had to renew my thinking. And that's what we need to do as followers of Yeshua, is we need to get our mindset, our hearts, like his mind and his heart. I'm going to read, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read Romans 12, 1. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is where toes may be stepped on. I feel today's television is one of the best tools Hasatan has, and that's keeping you from seeking the kingdom. In multiple ways. I took some financial courses, and the first thing that the professor said was, because it was deep stuff, and he said, throw your television away. It's not an asset, it's the liability that's going to prevent you from doing what you want to do. However, there I understand that sometimes at the end of the day, you just got to plunk yourself in the easy chair, and I like to watch, well, we don't watch, but two things I used to like to watch. Fishing shows, because I love to fish. Let me rephrase that. I love my wife, I like to fish. And I like to love to watch, well, let me rephrase that again. I love my wife. I like to cook. One of the shows I like to watch was the guy with the hair and the tattoos. And
Guy Fieri, yeah.
That's the guy. Man, I learned how to smoke the best Boston butt from his show. But that's another lifetime. All right, so let's get back to the Fishing Channel. The program goes into a break. Now, remember what I said. This is Hasatan nipping at your heels. It's an ad about a car. Let's say it's a Subaru Crosstrek. I like the Subaru Crosstrek. All of a sudden, the car that I'm driving is no longer suitable because the ad agencies spend millions of gazillion dollars to get you thinking less of yourself unless I drive that Subaru Crosstrek. Mm-hmm. I know it's a bit of a stretch. Replace the Subaru with a dress. Replace the Subaru with any type of different article. What you have is not good enough, so says the ultimate liar. All right, do we have one child? Okay, I'm going to tread easy here. What about the commercials that come on after a guy catches that trophy bass? Are you ready? I don't even want to go into details on the ad agencies. Ad industry says their motto is sex sells. All right, men, listen up. How honoring would it be to my bride, my wife, in this commercial, there is a Victoria's Secret model prancing across my television screen that's 67 inches from corner to corner. Is that all? And I'm staring there at there, look at that. For those who think not, read Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Enough said. Let's continue on to the 3 to 4 hours on how do we utilize them for kingdom purposes. I asked my wife, was it this morning, sweetheart, when we were talking, is there any time in your 24 or how many hours that we're awake that you're not thinking about kingdom work, kingdom? It's almost, I don't want to say it's tiring, but it's ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. We just didn't wake up one day and say, okay, we're going to start thinking about Yah at all times. It was a renewing of the mind. My bride, I'm going to give a sneak behind our curtains. Christiana is up every morning at 5:30. She's in my chair with my lamp, and she is in God's word. And I know that this woman prays for me because I can feel it. We all have these 3 and 4 hours that are very, very precious. I'm going to be talking about this in a few minutes. The foundations aren't just the milk. There are so much more. There is so much more. That's with little babies, that's pablum. We should be so far beyond that, but we're still stuck with the 12 foundations. We should know them. We should revert back to them. We should never stop learning about God's instructions. But that's the milk. I know one thing. I want to have the mind of Christ. How many times have you heard that in those that have been in church? Having the mind of Christ. Having his heart. I could speak on and on. I'm looking at the time clock and wow, I'm running really, really long. Is it okay? You all right with that?
True? No, just kidding.
Good one, Nora. Here's a couple suggestions. Ask yourself, is what I'm doing pleasing to the Father? Watching that model, not very pleasing. Are you using his time for the renewing of the mind by prayer and the reading of his word? And speaking with, fellow believers. The men's group that we have, man, we a lot of good. I know the women knock it out of the park every Tuesday. I know that. I don't. You women, you make this building shake. That's cool. The men are not quite there yet, but we'll get there. If you're falling short of 1 or 2, it's probably because world influence starts creeping into your life via the television, the radio, or the internet. Truth. Teacher once told me when I was in grade school, because I was, oh my gosh, I was the world's greatest student. I spent all of 2 weeks in further education. I threw my textbook. I said, you're going to teach me how to make money? I don't think so. Teacher told me, once you've used the minutes off the clock, they're gone forever. You're not going to recapture them. It can't be recovered. Enough said about time. You're all probably wondering what this bus is all about. I'm telling you, if you haven't spent any time with Ted, you need to spend time with Ted. I went over to Ted and Janice's house on Thursday to pick up a ladder, 5 minute in and out, boom, boom, because I had to be somewhere. Ted and I spoke for hours. And we're going to talk about Ted. We're going to talk about talents. Sweetheart, my mouth is dry. Could you read chapter 12 of Romans?
The whole chapter?
The whole chapter, please. Because there are things in there that are going to touch on the next subject matter.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior or the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good.
Thanks, sweetheart. Each one of us has a gift, some gifts, or multiple gifts. As I look around the room, I mean, I could call out every person here, and without knowing a lot about you, I know what your gifts are. David teaches. I mean, David, you carry so much knowledge in your hip pocket. I don't want to say I'm envious, but I'm envious. But, and you all heard David teach, so that's an obvious gift. Let me give you an example of a not-so-obvious gift. And I don't mean to embarrass her, and so there's no crime intended, but when I look at Janice, I see calm. And I'm going to tell you why that's a gift. I lived on a raging sea for 56 years. well, maybe not all. I mean, when I was in my parents' house, it was a calm sea there. But I lived on really, really rough seas. And when I look at Janice, I see calm. I see the calm that's available to us through Yeshua. That's how Janice ministers to me, without saying a word. Without saying a word. Am I spot on?
Yes.
Let me tell you about Ted. Whether you know it or not, Ted's a genius. I saw B for the first time. B is the bus, the day sailor. Anybody that's done any kind of boating, a day sailor is a small little sailboat, got a little cuddy cabin to get out in the hot Florida sun and yada yada yada. Ted is building a land sailor, okay? And I'm looking at, he's got everything cleared out in from this point back, because this is where his bunk's going to be, in the toilet over there, and the settee over. Anyways. And it's all done out of scratch. He's welding the piping. He's utilizing things that I guess some of the shelving was in your house, Janice. Okay, but it's just not this. Has anybody ever seen Henry?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On the back of Henry, Ted's got an axle that he cut. And then he formulated something else and took a part off his engine lift. Okay, he got three or four components to this thing. And what he tells me, because he picks up motor oil with this, there is a tire in the back of Henry that weighs 250 pounds. This lift could pick up four tires at the same time. Anybody ever see Inspector Gadget? Ted is gifted. But I'm going to tell you another side. Janet, without saying anything, shares her gift with me, and I'm sure with you ladies, I'm sure of it. Ted's got this all bottled up inside. As Yas people, we're not supposed to keep our gifts bottled up inside. My gift is using a 2x4. I will never soft tow anything. It's not in my DNA. But my wife and I together, we have the gift of serving and hospitality. We serve the body by, you're sitting in a clean room today is because David and April and Christiana and I share the cleaning details. That's our gift. Our gift is hospitality. Our home is open to people. I know that we went into a cruise pattern over the last few months because of, I mean, we've just been so crazy busy, and I told Christian, we need to get people back here. Y'all have gifts, and they're to be shared. I'm not going to take any credit for what I'm going to say next, because I was at a seminar in 2010, downtown Atlanta. Anybody ever hear of Miles Monroe? Is that guy, well, he used to died in a plane crash, but that guy used to hit it out of the park. So I'm gonna be Miles Monroe for a second, okay? I need a little bit of a suntan, but I'll. Six thousand people are in this auditorium, and he asked a question, and because this is a conversation, I'm gonna ask the question: where's the richest place on the planet?
Dubai, yeah,
that's
what
Dubai.
I'm thinking.
Anybody else? Where's the richest place on earth? Where's the richest place where the treasure, most treasure lies?
Cemetery.
Can you say that louder?
The cemetery.
Cemetery. And everybody's going, 6,000 people. What? Let me tell you what's in the cemetery. Books left unwritten by authors. Doctors who never finished school. Spirit-filled teachers that never got up before a classroom. Athletes who came off the practice field too early. All these gifts and talents went with them to the grave. There's a lot of riches there. Then we look at Jehovah's people. How many with gifts and talents are not sharing? How many never lived up to their potential? I know one thing, and this is where I'm going to get a little bit comfortable. This is not going to be a Tony Robbins seminar. But it has to do with what my wife is being taught on. And I know one thing, I was born for greatness. I'm supposed to be at the banquet table. I'm not supposed to be in the butler's pantry. So I'd like everybody to repeat that with me. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. It really is. Because I remember being at Tony Robbins and, oh my gosh, I got to stand up. I'm great. No, I'm not great. I'm great in the Creator. But you got to be able to not buy in with this thinking, but this has got to be part of your renewing of your mind. Yes, people walk around in defeat. Yes or no?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On a count of three. I was born for greatness. A little feeling a little uncomfortable? It is uncomfortable. But guess what? You're born for, if you're a child of God, if you accepted the blood sacrifice, you are grafted into Israel, is it not? And you are now a child of God. No longer are you your job in the pantry, you're at the banquet table. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, and everybody knows this one, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Yeshua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Folks, we have the spirit of God living in us. Let's get out of the butler's pantry. You got talents. Go back to that time, that 3 and 4 hour time period, the renewing of the mind. It works. You know how I know that stuff works? Is because I went to South Florida with $620 in my pocket. I told my mother and father at the time, when the money runs out, I'll be back home. To stay in a hotel room at that time was like 1972 was like $8 on the beach in Fort Lauderdale. I took the $620 and parlayed it into building a $15 million a year business by thinking and growing rich. So if I could do that with that stupid, silly pagan book, we could certainly renew our minds with this. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. We come to the part of the teaching. Dun, 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 dun. A treasure. Stay with me on this. This is good stuff. I wrote it. Only kidding. Let's get this straight out of the gate. If we believe that everything is Jehovah's, amen? Is everything? Yes. Our gifts, our talents, our time, our treasure, it's all His. Well, then what about everything is Jehovah that His people don't understand? I'm going to give you another disclaimer. This movie was popular, I think, somewhere 2004, 2005. I don't know the title of the movie. But the movie had three endings. It had ending A, B, and C. Anybody see that movie?
Sliding Doors?
I can't remember. But you know, the people in my office, they would come in, and they, let's say somebody saw the movie on a Monday. Well, they're telling one story. Somebody that saw the movie on a Wednesday, they're telling, what do you guys, I mean, so the movie had three different endings, depending upon what day of the week that you went to see the movie. It's just crazy. Okay, so this part of the teaching, I've got two endings. Do you want the truth version or the edited version? That sort of kind of, we'll play a little bit of nice, but you're not going to take anything away from it. Before you'd answer that question, what are we all here for?
Truth.
Okay, so I don't even have version B on this story, so it was going to be a no-win situation. Let's examine how we handle our treasure. I want to give you another side of this. Our treasure is not always the dollars and the change that are in our bank account. It's related to our stewardship. I was gifted with a big business, and I squandered it for worldly pleasure. Right, Mom? There's only one other subject matter that Yeshua spoke about other than money, and that it was the kingdom of heaven. So I think this money thing is sort of important. It doesn't show it today, but last week we were busting out. A couple weeks before that, we were busting. We are growing. We swell, we shrink, we swell, we shrink. But truth is spoken here. And when truth is spoken, yes, we go through trials and tribulations. Somebody gets stubbed their toe and they get healed and they get their feelings hurt. But you know what? When truth is spoken, people will gravitate to truth. I prayed for truth for years. And it wiped everything off my table. If that was the price I had to pay, so be it. This joke is going to be used for the last time because I'm going to make a decree on this. We're going to go to the prophet, the Italian guy. What's the guy's name?
Malachi.
Okay, last time that day. Okay? Okay, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. We all know where we're going with this one. And there's a method to my madness. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Sorry. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you in tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. I could go on for another hour with all the Bible verses that I have on Yeshua talking about money and how to handle our finances. I will not. But I'm going to give you this disclaimer because what I'm going to go into is a very, very simple exercise. At the peak of my career, I had 43 salaried managers working for me. They made a sum of money between $30,000 a year and $80,000 a year managing my restaurants. Every one of them, with the exception of a few, were broke. Every single one of them. And I constantly gave out financial advice. When my wife and I were in South Florida 2 years ago, a little bit less than 2 years ago, we were clearing out one of my warehouses. I had washed my hands, and one of my former managers, is this true? Of a person I helped guide her finances properly, she was able to buy a house.
House.
Okay. That was mucho.
Yes.
Okay, I'll let you ask Cornelia. Bless you, Cornelia. I'll let you ask Christiana why I called her mucho. I'm not going to say it from up here. So I feel I'm highly qualified to speak to what I'm going to speak to you about. Okay. Well, Rich, I can't afford to tithe. One of the things I was talking to Tom about is we need to do a financial seminar, because I lived on a big six-figure income, and I went down to zero in 18 months. So I had to learn how to live all over again, because never once did I go into a restaurant and read the menu from the right side over to the left side. Never once did I have to ask the reservation, well, how much is that room? I could go on and on and on. So, and my mom will attest to this, and my wife will attest to this. I don't buy anything unless it's on sale. My mother wanted me to buy some, what's that cereal that you eat? My mother wanted me to buy a cereal that's $3.35 full price. I go, it's not on sale, I'm not buying it. Are you with me on that? I know how to buy.
He does.
And we eat like kings.
Yeah. Say that again, baby.
And we eat like kings.
Okay. When Christiane and I got married, we ate, I'm sorry, our food bill, eating at home. We don't eat out because I don't trust. Used to spend $1,200 a month on food, Christiana, myself, and Elizabeth. And then we would have people over on Friday night. I had to redo the budget because, you know what, $1,200 was ridiculous. So now we shop at five different places. I know all the ads.
Yep.
I know all the places, okay? I know how to buy. Why am I going to pay $3.45 for a jar of mayonnaise when there's a coupon out at Publix right now for $2.50 off what makes that jar of mayonnaise $1.05? Amen? Okay. Is giving to be a sacrifice? What's the word of God say? Giving is supposed to be a sacrifice. I'm going to show you how it's going to be paying for it. There's somebody probably in here. I'm not pointing at anybody because I don't know where you eat lunch out. But a lunch, I was in the fast food business. The number one sandwich on any menu on the planet is $7. Let's cut that meal out. Because why don't you fast that day? We were talking about fasting this morning. I went on a three-day fast 6 years ago. At hour 36, God takes over. Okay, so we got $7 a week times 4 weeks is $28 a month. Somebody that's not tithing, I just found $28 for you. I could stand up here and give hours on where to find money. I don't care if you make $30,000 a year or $130,000 a year. We all waste money. I mentioned to you before, we grow, we shrink, we grow, we shrink, we grow, we shrink. Eventually, we're going to outgrow this building. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. When Christiana and I got married, she was driving a 1990. I think it was a 99. Was it a Camry? That was having some problems because she had some repair bills that I needed to examine. Yada yada yada. I like deals, as you all know. I'm a couponer. One way or another, I'm not going to pay retail. I learned from one of my boating customers when I was 22 years old. Rich, never pay retail. And all my boating customers were Jewish, okay? They know how to buy. I needed to get my wife a new car. I flatlined with zero income back in 2010. And all that I did for one solid year because I was so toasted is 20 minutes on my back, 20 minutes on my stomach, and I fried myself in South Florida beaches. So when I come to Georgia, I was fried, literally. So Christiana needed a new car. A deal came up, and we took the deal. It was a brand spanking new 1992 Ford Taurus with 78,000 miles on it.
Wow.
I love that car.
There's no miles on that.
No miles.
Yeah.
However, June 20th or 21st, we're coming up from Florida, and the air conditioning goes out.
Oh. You're actually driving in hell inside your car.
Yeah. Yes.
No,
you don't know how true you are, because this is what my wife had to do.
Oh.
Now, I hate heat with a passion. I told you I moved out of Cleveland because it was... No, I'm frying up here right now. My wife literally had to take bottles of water and pour them on my... I had my Hawaiian shirt open. She's pouring water. True story or what? Okay. Okay. All right. But that the story's not about the car. All right. But it is about the car. Remember I told you, I am never going to tell somebody to do something unless I'm doing it along with my wife. My car, the story goes is I took the car from Christiana, and she's driving the Mercury now. I love the 1992 Ford Taurus, but it's made fun of.
What? What color is it?
That the door doesn't close, or this doesn't, or that doesn't. And so finally I turn, look, very, I want you to put your listening ears on. I'd have to eliminate one line item on our budget, and I almost slipped. And Christiana will be driving a brand new Mercedes-Benz. Okay, you know what that line item is? My treasure. Our treasure. So I'm not standing up here telling you about the foundations of the faith, telling you about tithing, without doing it myself. Truth. Does God really need our money?
No.
Of course not. He needs our what?
Our obedience.
Yes. Exactly.
And that money he blessed us with is just used to accomplish what he has.
Amen.
Planned.
And this is the conversation. This is the conversation. Because I know, I see what's coming. I see what's coming. We will outgrow this. We will. Trust me, we will. Because truth is spoken here. I asked Tom the question. I think I asked you and Tom. Is there anybody on the planet that is doing this without all the trappings of the messianic stuff? We're doing it right out of God's word. Are we deviating at all?
No.
Ellen, you're an elder. Are we deviating?
No.
Not an inch to the left or an inch to the right? Those that are seeking truth will come here. And eventually these 42 or 43 chairs that are nice and cushy, they'll be filled. And yes, there's times where we have a whole bunch of blue chairs in the back. But we will outgrow this. The conclusion of the matter. Hebrews 5, we're going to read verses 13 and 14 and then go into Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. And I'm going to give you time to get there because this is really where the rubber meets the road. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason to use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, or of the resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. And this is where Christiana and I, this is where we struggle, is, okay, we're ready for that ribeye steak with the baked potato and all the rest of the stuff that goes with that. We want to get off the milk. But we can't get off the milk until we get, which pertain to the foundations of the faith. Either you're all in or you're out. And trust me, I examined myself for 6 solid waking weeks. I didn't examine anybody else. I examined myself. So I guess the challenge is, let's get these foundations right. Let's make sure we're in line with God's word. And let's get to the banquet table where the neat stuff is served. Let's close in prayer.